We'll call the meeting to order, please. Could we have the roll call?
Ms. Anderson?
Here.
Mr. Cradaville?
Here.
Ms. Nimmons?
Here.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Here.
Dr. Webb?
Here.
Mr. Welch? Mr. Yost?
Here.
Mr. Yost is going to be joining us by teleconferencing today, and our audio people say that it would help Mr. Yost a great deal if we speak into the microphones today so that Don can keep pace with what's going on. Pleased to have our guests. Want to introduce Dave Fope, who is a reporter for the Journal Gazette, filling in for our regular reporter. Dave, good to have you here. First item of business is to approve the minutes of the January 14 board meeting and the February 23rd board meeting.
Make a motion to approve them.
Motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
We have roll call on that, or can we do that with voice vote?
A roll call.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Then, Brad, I understand we have some executive session minutes to approve.
No, not today.
We do not.
No.
All right. Thank you very much. Next item of business is naming of university property. I will ask Dr. Perry if he will make that presentation.
I will. Thank you, Dr. Webb. We are recommending today that the Board of Trustees approve the naming of the building at 975 Edgar Drive as the Dr. Lewis M. Grotto Building. This comes recommended by me and also by the naming committee of the university. Lewis Grotto was PhD faculty member. He was a member of the Eastern Illinois University Education faculty from 1955 to his retirement August 31st, 1989. Dr. Grotto taught in the field of elementary education throughout his career at Eastern. In 1961, the School of Elementary and Junior High School Teaching was created, and when Dr. Harry Marigus, who was made the dean of it, of the faculty for that department, he asked, with concurrence, of course, with the president, that Dr. Grotto become the acting head of the School of Elementary and Junior High School Teaching. He served in that position for 19 years until his retirement. He played a critically important role in the development of teacher training in the field of elementary education, and he did much to strengthen and sustain the quality of this program at Eastern Illinois University. During his service in the 1960s, he spent 2 years in Nicaragua helping the Nicaraguan government improve their school systems there. So his impact was not only felt in Illinois, but internationally as well. He was devoted to service. He exemplified a service to humanity. He exhibited excellence in university leadership and was critical to the development of teacher training in the field of elementary education at EIU. The naming of the building at 975 Edgar Drive after Dr. Lewis M. Grotto would symbolize for all of us at EIU and for future generations of Eastern students and faculty the spirit of excellence and service in education that Dr. Lewis Grotto embraced and embodied. For these reasons, we bring this recommendation to the board.
Being old enough to have had Dr. Grotto as a teacher and still graduating, I'd like to make that motion, Dr. Grotto, for this award, the building.
We have a motion on the floor. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Second. Discussion. Roger, do you have anything further to say about
outstanding teacher. Outstanding. I didn't realize he had started that early. I mean, he was there a few years before, well, second year. He was an outstanding teacher, and I remember him very well.
Right. Any further discussion? If not, could we have roll call?
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradaville?
Yes.
Ms. Nimmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
Motion carries. We're down to informational items. First item is a report from the President.
Thank you, Dr. Webb. I have two items for the board today, one briefer than the other. The first is it was just announced yesterday by the NCAA, and we released a press release regarding the same matter. EIU's athletics department was certified by the National Collegiate Athletic Association. I want to thank publicly all who were part of the steering committee and all the many subcommittees and individuals who provided input, data, and support for our self-study and the subsequent subsequent reporting and process. And there were many individuals involved. I certainly want to thank Dr. Nadler for his leadership, Barbara Burke, who's Director of Athletics, Jill Owen, who's the head of Kinesiology and Sports Studies, who was the chair of the steering committee, and Derek Markley in my office for his staff support for that entire effort. So it's a great success, a real tribute to our programs, to our student-athletes, our coaches, staff, faculty, everyone at EIU who supports the athletics programs. That was my first item. The second item is Dr. Weber, our Vice President for Business Affairs, is going to give us a fiscal year 2011 update.
Thank you, President Perry. Again, this is a look at FY11. We are a little more than two-thirds of the way through FY11, which ends on June 30. It started on July 1 of 10. And much of what you'll see today will give you a sense of deja vu, because we are in a very similar situation this year that we were last year. To start off, I'd like to point out that we're in a very different situation now than we were 10 years ago. The bar on the left shows our appropriated funding, both general revenue funds, which is the dollars we get from the state, tax dollars, and then the income fund, IF, abbreviated there, is the money we get from tuition dollars. Back in FY02, you can see the total of those two was just over $80 million, and it was split roughly two-thirds, one-third. Two-thirds state funding from the tax dollars, one-third from the students in the form of tuition dollars. Today, 10 years later, we're in a very different situation. Now the split is closer to 60-40, with the heavier split being on the students in the form of tuition. Our state funding actually peaked in FY02. It's never been as large since. And you can see the exact figures here. Our general revenue funds this year are down by 14%+ over the past decade, while our income fund has grown dramatically by 143% from FY02 to FY11. It's important to recognize that the income fund, there's two separate reasons why the income fund has gone up like it has. The obvious reason is, of course, tuition increases, and that's what many people would focus on. But a second reason why there's this increase in the income fund is because of growth in enrollment. We were serving many fewer students in FY02 than we are in FY11. Roughly 1,000-plus headcount more in FY11 than in FY02, about 780 FTE more in FY11 than FY02. And, of course, when you have more students paying tuition, you get more tuition. And so the income fund, the reason for this growth is twofold, not just tuition rate increases, but also growth in our enrollments. When you combine these two, you'll see that The overall growth is roughly, it's right at 37%. And so, again, that sounds significant, but this doesn't take inflation into account. If you look at the inflation figures over this decade, prices during this period went up by roughly 25%. So even though our total here went up by, again, 37%, almost all of that, a good two-thirds of it, is gone because of inflation. And so certainly it looks dramatic to an outsider that, my gosh, the money you're pulling in from students has gone up 143% over the past decade. But that's not the full story. And so this is your elevator speech. Why has tuition risen so sharply in the past decade? Well, it really hasn't when you look at the numbers. Our tuition's increased by just enough to do three things. First of all, to offset the decline in the state funding that we've had. Secondly, to cover the cost of inflation. And then when you've taken those two into account, really all we've gotten in the way of real growth is just a little bit more than 1% a year. So enough to, again, fund a few initiatives and pursue excellence at EIU. So that's the context that I want to share with you regarding FY11. It really is a very different context that we're in as compared to a decade ago. This year we are facing cash flow difficulties the same as last year. Again, we're two-thirds of the way through the fiscal year, but of our general revenue funds, we've only received roughly a quarter of them as of the end of February. The monetary assistance program, the MAP funds, we've gotten most of our MAP funds for the fall, but we have not yet received any MAP funds for the spring. So, again, the spigot is not flowing freely here. Our GRF, we're still owed from the state roughly $35 million. MAP funds, we're owed roughly another $5 million on top of that. So of those two, we still are looking for quite a sum. We still need around $40 million from the state to come in. So how do we deal with this cash flow situation? Let me first of all look at what we've done on the expenditure side. We have done a top-to-bottom review of positions at the university. And as we were reviewing positions, we found a number of positions on the books that simply will not be filled anytime in the near future. And so we've cleaned up our books with regards to positions. We identified about 280 positions that just have no reason to be on the books, and so we took those off the books. In addition, we have done some planned declines in personnel. One you're familiar with in my area was the downsizing that we did of the Information Technology Services Unit. To account for the retirement of the mainframe, changes in the programming environment, and the like. Also in the provost area, the provost worked carefully with the deans and the chairs to do some downsizing of our instructional staff, and each college had a target to try to hit with regards to how many FTE the colleges could support. And so when you look at those efforts plus attrition, and you compare year to year, we are down by a little more than 60 headcount. Estimated savings from that decline in personnel is about $3 million. So that's the personnel side. On the operating side of things, we started off the year by loading most of our operating budgets at 75%. We kept some areas harmless, that is, various planning priorities of the president, such as the monies that we put into study abroad, the honors program, philanthropy. We did not cut those operating budgets. Also, our budgets that we call our fixed cost accounts, primarily our utilities budgets, those, of course, we had to fund fully. But other operating budgets, we loaded at 75%. Our analysis of this situation, as we looked at a three-year average, and recognizing that last year was very unusual because we had to cut back spending so tightly that those numbers, again, are artificially low. But when we looked at that three-year average turned out to be roughly this 75%. And so by loading operating budgets at this level, what we were really asking the campus to do is to take the slowdown in spending that they did last year and try to make about a third of that permanent. Certainly, some areas are going to be able to survive at this level. Others will need some support, and we'll be reallocating funds as we go along the rest of this year to try to smooth things out for those areas. In addition to this, on the operating side, we again are working with our Council on University Planning and Budget, our CUPB, to generate cost containment ideas. And one of those cost containment ideas that we kept hearing from CUPB and the people that put ideas on their website was, don't print so much. Try to cut back on printing. And so that's been done in a number of ways. Most of our newsletters that we used to do in terms of hard copy have now gone electronic. Student bills, instead of hard copy, have now gone electronic. The best way to save on printing costs is to not print. But when you do have to print, there are still ways of saving on those costs. Most printers, you can set to print in a draft mode, which uses a lot less toner. Also, it's even surprising that you can save toner just by the choice of font. This top font is Times New Roman, but this bottom font uses quite a bit less toner. That's Century Gothic, and you can see because of the size of the letters and the lack of serifs, you don't use as much toner with that. And so... So anyway, there's been a lot of reduction of printing on campus. And I asked Mike Maurer, our Director of Planning, Budget, and Institutional Research, to see if he could track down just how much we've saved and how much we've cut back in toner costs. And his analysis suggests that last year, as compared to the year before, we cut our toner costs by about $20,000. So even the small things that we ask people to do, such as watch their printing and only print at the quality necessary. Use both sides of the page when you can. Spin down your hard drives at night. All of those things do add up. So those are some things that we've done on the expenditure side to address the budget situation. On the revenue side, what's really key is our enrollment. Because it's the enrollment that drives our income fund. And here, we really have had the last few years a pretty steady decline in our enrollment. It's not been a huge decline. And after all, in fall of 2010, we were still serving a lot more students than we did back in the fall of 2001. Again, we were serving about 1,000 more headcount and about 780 FTE. But this decline in enrollment is of concern nonetheless. And so this has gotten our attention, and we're doing what we're taking several actions to try to turn this decline back around. since, as you recall from the first chart, we are much more dependent on our income fund. We're much more dependent on tuition than we were, say, 10 years ago. If we had maintained our enrollment, that is, if our enrollment for 2010 was the same as it was back in 2006, that would have made $5 million difference in our tuition and fees, about three-quarters of that being tuition and the other quarter of that being fees. So we are taking a very close look at recruitment of new students and retention of existing students. The provost is leading up that effort along with his team. I believe it was this past week that Faculty Senate and the Committee on Retention held a retention forum that was very well attended and lots of good ideas discussed. The provost has also been working with my office to see if we can make some adjustments in how we administer holds so that we don't artificially or unnecessarily prevent our students from re-enrolling. And so we are taking actions to try to turn around this decline in enrollment because, again, it really does these days have a huge impact on our budget. Despite the budget crunch, it's important to notice that we are still performing at the top of our game. And we can stack up our performance at EIU against any other comparable university in the state. Our retention rate is, the most recent number is 79%. That is top in the state. The average across comparable Illinois publics is about 70%. Even though this is top of the state, President Perry set the goal for us to up this to 85%. And again, by keeping those students in the pipeline, then they keep paying tuition and fees, and that helps our budget ultimately. We're also near the top with regards to graduation rates. Our most recent figure was 62%. Meanwhile, if you take the average of all the comparable master's comprehensive universities in Illinois, the average graduation rate is around 44%. So again, I don't think we're the absolute top among the schools, but we are right there with them. And again, strongly above the average. And so, again, as we look at performance indicators, Eastern is doing extremely, extremely well. And that, of course, is in contrast to what we get in the way of funding from the state. In terms of funding, Eastern, when you look at general revenue funding per FTE student, we are nearer at the bottom. As you can see from this chart, we received just under $4,800 in state tax dollars per FTE student. Meanwhile, if you look at our peers and what they receive, on average, they receive just under $6,300. And so there is a disconnect between the general revenue funding per FTE student at our institutions and our performance. Eastern performs at the top, but our funding, measured this in this way, is near the bottom. So all of this gives us, when you look at this full picture, this gives us some very discrete directions to head. And so all of this information informs our legislative priorities going ahead. First of all, first legislative priority is to pursue outcomes-based funding in for education in Illinois. Again, right now, there does not seem to be any strong connection between a university's performance and its funding. And in these days of such tight dollars, we just can't continue in that way. We need to use scarce funds in Illinois to promote effectiveness and efficiency
and there's not a better university that does that than EIU. Also, a second legislative priority targeted to trying to turn around that enrollment decline. We are pursuing a pilot program to increase our revenues by using targeted partial tuition waivers. By law, we're limited in how much we can give in the way of undergraduate tuition waivers. We're capped at a 3%. We're asking for a pilot program that would let us increase that cap gradually over a four-year period. And by having more a more liberal policy with regards to using tuition waivers, we believe we can increase our institutional revenue by capturing those students who might be just on the edge, thinking, yeah, I really would like to go to Eastern, but I can't quite make the finances work. And so if we could give that marginal student a $500 or a $1,000 tuition waiver, that might be just enough to encourage that student to come to Eastern. That would generate not full tuition for us, but still part tuition for us, and add to our revenues. To the degree in which we have surplus capacity in our classes, it would add minimally to our costs, in that we wouldn't have to add as many courses when we have these students taking up seats that may have otherwise gone unfilled. So that's our second legislative priority. And then a third legislative priority is really for increased autonomy. We have been hit hard, especially by changes in procurement legislation. And we have many examples of our costs being driven up because it's getting harder and harder to locate vendors who are willing to do business with the state of Illinois. Doing business with foreign vendors to encourage our study abroad program. Our foreign vendors have no interest in signing certifications for the state of Illinois. And so to do study abroad programs, we really have to work through a third party, a middleman, if you will, who's willing to handle the certifications for the state of Illinois and then make the arrangements with the foreign vendors overseas. Well, that's fine and good, but having a middleman drives up our costs. And so Eastern has always been a leader with regards to efficient and effective use of our state funds. And if we could get some increased autonomy from the state, I think we could show the state that we could make things even more cost-effective and efficient. That ends my presentation on FY11 and the budget update there, but I'd be glad to take any questions.
Thank you, Dr. Weber. Does the board have any, members of the board have any comments or questions? I have a question. Did I understand what you're saying is that over the 10-year period, the operating costs have not increased, they've increased right at the cost of inflation. Is that correct?
Very close to it. We have had enough additional tuition and general revenue funds to just get a little bit more than the inflation rate, but that little bit more was used to support, again, a significant increase in our student enrollment. And so even though it looks like tuition dramatically increased, we are not making out like bandits from it.
Well, that's an interesting figure because I would guess that if you were to take a public opinion poll, the responses would be that the operating costs have gone up much faster than the rate of inflation.
Yeah, and again, it's just an example of how our university's been able to squeeze out efficiencies wherever we can. One of the big drivers of escalating costs is utilities, for instance. But over the past 10 years, we have pursued a number of energy conservation measures. As of, I believe, 2002, we had the lowest energy cost per square foot in the state among all state agencies and universities. And with our more recent energy conservation measures and our new renewable energy center coming online, that tradition is going to continue.
Are there other questions or comments, members of the board?
I have a question.
Yes.
Dr. Weber, given the projections by the House in Springfield, as opposed to the governor's budget, it appears there's a conflict or a difference on the revenue side. Then I noticed again this morning that there was a report that the state might end up with approximately $1 billion more than they had anticipated by January 30th. My question is, as you begin to try and decipher through this, where do you see the impact on possible rescissions or where we might be between now and July 1?
Well, you're certainly correct that right now there's a battle of numbers going on, in that the House has its own revenue projections, the Senate is using yet a different set of revenue projections, and the governor has yet a different number. And so we'll have to wait and see where all of these numbers settle down. Right now, my best guess is that as these numbers get sorted out, I would be surprised if we can do better than a status quo for our budget for next year. Another cut in our general revenue funding is not out of the realm of possibility. With regards to some sort of rescission or callback for this year, I have not heard a lot about that. I've heard some rumblings, but they haven't been really more than that. We are prepared to handle as much as a $2.5 million, perhaps even $3 million callback should that occur. But, of course, we are hopeful that our budget will remain intact for the rest of the year.
Thank you. Are there other questions? Well, thank you, Dr. Weber. President Perry?
That concludes my report. Thank you, Dr. Webb.
Next item is a report from the chair. I wanted to, you know, as you have probably noticed, there have been a rash of books published in the last 6 months to a year that have been highly critical of higher education. Their titles indicate their positions. One book, Academically Adrift, Limited Learning on College Campuses. Another one, Higher Education, How Colleges Are Wasting Our Money and Failing Our Kids and What We Can Do About It. Third one, Crisis on Campus, A Bold Plan for Reforming Our Colleges and Universities. And then Not-for-Profit, Why Democracy Needs the Humanities. This week's issue of the New York Review of Books has an article by a writer by the name of Peter Brooks, who is a with Princeton University, the Andrew Mellon scholar, a professor at Yale, who analyzes all of these books and goes step by step through each of the thoughts regarding higher education. And I'm going to ask the university to make copies of this article and send it to all members of the board. I think you'd be of interest, it'd be of interest to you in reading it. But his general conclusion is that all these books are, their research is deeply flawed and their observations are Charlon reasoning. It was only 25 years ago when higher education in the United States was considered the best in the world. And the question is, what could have happened to it in 25 years that got us to this point? And I think the conclusion of the author here is not much. It's still one of the highest ranking, if not the highest ranking in the world. At any rate, I hope that you will have take an opportunity to read this article.
We will scan it and send it electronically, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. It's printing right. Cost down.
Save on copy machines.
Exactly.
We're now ready for committee reports. And there's some order to this, I guess, but
executive planning is first.
Executive planning is first. And that would be me, I guess. Well, we did meet and had a good meeting. We did discuss many of the items that Dr. Weber has already mentioned. We talked a little bit about tuition. This board's going to have the responsibility to take a look at tuition here in another month or so regarding next year. We reviewed the report that President Perry made to the State Senate Appropriations Committee, the Senator House,
Senate.
If you've not read, I'm sure you have, his remarks. I thought they were succinct and to the point and presented a very strong argument for some sort of funding based upon performance. And we hope that that action goes forward. The Board Relations Committee is Julie Nimmons and Don Yost. And Don wasn't here, so did you meet, Julie?
We certainly did.
All right.
Thank you, Dr. Webb. Don, we missed you. I have just a brief update to our discussion this morning. We first heard from Stacia Lynch on marketing and communications and to address a couple of the points brought out by Dr. Weber concerning enrollment and cost. They are doing a considerable amount of work taking a look at reaching prospective students, developing a relationship very early on with prospective students, and the impact and the role of social media and the use of more electronic media to build these relationships and to reach our students and prospective students. So a lot of good work is being done in that respect. Concerning alumni activities, to date, 21 events have been coordinated by the alumni services staff with a total of 1,726 attendees. Some of those, at least the last one in Phoenix, was the largest one that they had had at that location. And so they are working very hard and doing a great job of getting relationships established and reestablished, which is one of the tenets of the campaign for EIU, one of the outcomes that we're hoping to gain. Speaking of the campaign for EIU, I am very pleased to note that as of the end of February, we have reached $42.7 million, or 85.4% of a goal of $50 million. So a great deal of work has been done by President Perry, Mr. Martin, Carla Evans, and the entire philanthropy staff and everyone involved on campus. This is an outstanding result thus far. We still have a way to go. We still have lots of work to be done, and quite frankly, the hardest work is going to need to be done throughout the remainder of the campaign, as we've been talking about. A lot of the ripe fruit has been picked, And so now the very difficult challenge of getting some of those apples and peaches that are a little higher up on the tree rather than low-hanging will take a lot of work. But I have no doubt that with what has been done thus far, we will be we will meet that goal and looking to exceed it. We have a number of regional campaign kickoff events on tap, as I mentioned. One was held in conjunction with the Alumni Association in Phoenix. One will be held in Naples, Florida on March 13th. One will be held in Washington, D.C. on April 20th. One will be held in St. Louis on May 12th. Second one will be held in Chicago on July 30th, and we'll be wrapping up the initial swing of the regional events in September in Springfield. So those are being very well done. So far, attendance is good. Understand that we have a great response for the Naples one coming up, so looking for good things there. And we appreciate all of the effort being given by a great number of volunteers helping with this. As far as the EIU Foundation, just want to remind everyone that the Legacy Weekend will be April 15th and 16th. A lot of huge events being planned, and that is also Celebration Weekend. So it'll be a great opportunity for everyone coming back to campus, and appreciate all the hard work being done by the Foundation staff. That's my report.
Well, thank you, Julie. Everyone connected with the campaign is to be congratulated. This is by far the most ambitious goal that Eastern has ever attempted, as I understand it. And it looks to be outstandingly successful. The Finance and Audit Committee, again, we reviewed some of the financial matters that we've already discussed. There is some action regarding internal audit charter that the board needs to adopt, and that will be presented at our April meeting. And we did review some of the recommendations concerning an external audit, and staff is working on those to bring our policies in line with the recommendations of the auditor. The Academic and Student Affairs Committee, Leo is chairman of that. Did you meet?
We did.
You did?
We
okay.
did meet.
We don't need Leo, obviously.
Well, we certainly do need Leo. We missed
Thank you.
Him also. I'd be happy to give you a brief overview
Thank
of
you.
Our meeting. We heard this morning received some information about the Illinois Certification Testing System and had a good review of what's taking place on campus. In that area, we had a wonderful report on the EIU military veterans and the recent addition to the staff of Michael Rubial and all that he is doing in supporting EIU military veterans. Of particular note, they will be participating in the 22nd annual Bataan Memorial Death March. That will be taking place in Las Cruces, New Mexico. And of special note, Eastern actually had Professor Emeritus William Miner, who survived that death march, was a member of this faculty for a number of years. So that is of particular interest. And very excited that we will be having our students attend that. They also have some other projects taking place upcoming as a March 31st flag folding event, and these flags will be sent on to our troops, and a Project Hero will be in April, and these will be actually care packages for the troops who are deployed overseas will be sent to the our military members. In those packages will not only be various items that will be helpful to the soldiers serving abroad, but they will also contain information about Eastern Illinois University and encouraging members of the military once they end their service to take a look at Eastern. So I think that's a tremendous opportunity there. We also received some information on the Illinois Longitudinal Data Study. And finally, we ended it on a couple of different notes. I'll just highlight one. We were provided with information concerning job placement rate, and since that is a very critical aspect, after all, we are teaching our young people, and we want them to be able to find placement after the graduation. I'm happy to report that the Eastern Illinois graduating class of 2009 had a job placement rate of 77% within 5 months of graduation. And when we're speaking of job placement, we are not talking about working part-time or serving as a substitute teacher. They have taken a very conservative viewpoint of this, and the 77% is quite high on average, which is a very liberal rate, so it's not anywhere apples and oranges. Apples is apples to oranges, thank you very much. Less than 64% of the class of 2009 had jobs after graduation. So from a very liberal definition of job placement of 64% to a very conservative report of 77% 5 months out, the students here are seeing a tremendous result of their investment in education at Eastern. So congratulations to them, as well as a big thank you to the entire EIU community for the great job they're doing for our students. That's huge.
Yeah, that's good news. Any comments or questions for Julie on her report? The next report is Board of Regulations, and that is Leo Welch himself, and I presume he did not. So we move on to reports from constituencies, and I believe that we do not have any reports scheduled for today. Is that correct? That is still true. And our next report is a report from annuitants, and we are pleased to have with us today Dr. Jane Osier, who is a former professor, retired from Eastern Illinois University. And Jane, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Webb. Nice to see you here. Good afternoon, trustees, President Perry, vice presidents, and everybody else. Eastern Illinois University Annuitants Association appreciates the opportunity to inform you of our annual activities. Our primary activity is to communicate with Eastern's annuitants and current employees, providing them with information as it relates to our pensions and benefits. Communication flows from our State University Annuitants Association through our webpage, emails, quarterly newsletters, and quarterly chapter meetings. The association encourages annuitants to keep in continuous communication with Senator Dale Ryder and Representative Chapin Rose. For example, we will soon remind the annuitants that the legislature goes on spring break, April 16th through the 26th. Information sharing face-to-face at their local offices is important, as well as letters and emails. Our January chapter meeting was also our annual luncheon, and it was a celebration of EIU's Annuitants Association's 40th anniversary. Dr. Alan Barharlu, presented a tribute to legendary Dr. William Ziegler, a former EIU professor and administrator and a founder of the state organization, as well as EIU's Annuitants Association. The associations were established soon after he and others worked arduously, influencing the pension language in the 1970 Illinois Constitution. Also at our luncheon, last year's Annuitants President, Dale Wolf, received the Foundation's Annual Annuitants Ambassador Award. Kaylee Babs Hackney, daughter of EIU employee Kathy Babs, received our Annuitants $500 scholarship, as well as a plaque. Annuitant Alan Horney and his Four Voices musicians provided entertainment for us. Special guests included President Linda Perry, Vice President for University Advancement, Bob Martin, Senator Dale Ryder, Foundation Director Patrice Stratton, Donor Relations Coordinator Nancy Page, and Representative Rhodes Aide. At our October meeting, President Perry presented an overview of Eastern's 2010-11 goals and activities. Vice President Martin explained the Expect Greatness campaign. Other guests at chapter meetings have included Representative Rose and the State Annuitants Association Executive Director, Linda Brookhart. Several annuitants attended the state meeting in Champaign and regional meeting in the Giant City State Park. Dale Wolf serves on this state regional committee. Last year's 700 membership goal was exceeded. We set this current year's membership goal at 750, and we now have 728 members. 22 of our new annuitants died last year, but to honor them, our organization contributed to the Association Scholarship Fund. Next month, Vice President of Business Affairs, Bill Weber, will give an overview of EIU's strategic planning process. Annuitants look forward to participating in the process. Also, a featured speaker will be the 2010-11 Professor Laureate Cameron Craig, geographer, climatologist, and director of the EIU Weather Center. The Academy of Lifetime Learning has graciously given a year's membership to the annuitants, and annuitants participate in the activities of the Academy. They also serve as university volunteers in many capacities. As you see, we're very involved in many ways and very connected to the university, and we all love this university so much. So we do appreciate, again, the opportunity to share with you some of the activities that we have done. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Jane. Does anyone have any questions for Jane? Well, as an annuitant, let me tell you, I appreciate everything you're doing.
Mr. Chairman,
Dr. Perry does.
Yep. Yes, Dr. Webb, I wanted to add my thanks on behalf of the university for all the support that the annuitants give us in so many ways, hosting at the Neal Welcome Center, support in Springfield, and many annuitants who pitch in and for move-in day and all the activities we have that we use to welcome our students, our new students especially. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next item is a summary of purchases. Dr. Weber.
Thank you, Mr. Webb. We only have one purchase in the range of $100,000 to $249,999. That was with BLDD Architects, and this is providing design services to renovate the former textbook rental area in Pemberton Hall. Second floor of that area is going to be the new home of the Honors College, and we expect greatness from the remodeling that's going to happen over the next year or so as we prepare that space for the Honors College.
Thank you. Do we have a motion to approve?
So
it's not required.
Informational item. It's an informational item.
Okay. Thank you. The next item is summary of deposits investment report. Dr. Weber, handle that.
Yes, you have that on pages 11 and 12 of your binder. There's really no significant changes from the last time that you received this report. It is good to note, however, that the markets in 2010 were much kinder than they were in the previous couple of years. We had a year-to-date return of about 17.25% on the endowment funds.
That's good. Thank you. Any questions or comments regarding Dr. Weber's report? The next item is University Highlights, which is a publication, I think.
Yes, Dr. Webb, I just would like to bring a couple of those items to the attention of the board especially. One is that Eastern Illinois University has been named a Tree Campus USA campus. It takes a lot of work to obtain that status. It requires collaboration between the university and the surrounding community. Of course, it requires a campus with trees, which we have many, very well maintained by our ground staff. So this is a notable designation, and it's a designation that we can use to our advantage in publicity about the university, recruiting students, and so forth. Another item I would bring for special attention out of this list is the National Conference on Undergraduate Research this year. It's in Ithaca, New York. There were 356 institutions in the conference based on number of abstracts of presentations, and these are all reviewed and juried, so you don't get to present at the conference unless they've undergone review. We were 18th, which is like the top 5% in terms of number of presentations, but in terms of Illinois institutions, by far had more presenters than any other. I would then also mention in athletics, we retired the jersey of 1972 Olympian John Kraft, who was a triple jumper and placed fifth in the Munich Olympics in 1972. He was a wonderful athlete here, and we renamed the spring invitational meet the John Kraft invitational meet. And just by in passing, I would also mention that track and field has always been strong at EIU. This week, I believe Zai Boy, who's our 200-meter sprinter, is at the NCAA Nationals in College Station, Texas. So the tradition of strong track and field teams continues. In fact, both men's and women's teams won the indoor Ohio Valley Conference Championships just recently. And I think in the Midwest, out of all universe, all D1, we were 11th among all track and field teams.
Congratulations on that. Are there any comments regarding Dr. Perry's report? If not, are there any other matters to come before the board?
Dr. Webb, I'd just like to, as a member of the Board of Trustees, to welcome Ms. Anderson to her first board meeting here. We've been very fortunate over the years to have some outstanding examples of the student body here at Eastern as representatives at the board. So she has some big shoes to fill, and I want to welcome her.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you. Good to have you with us. Any other matters come before the board? I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
Roll call.
Ms. Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Cradiville?
Yes.
Ms. Nemmons?
Yes.
Mr. O'Rourke?
Yes.
Dr. Webb?
Yes.
Mr. Yost?
Yes.
We are adjourned.